Sechet, Makos deals with the topic of exile, and these are the psukim at the end of the book of Bamidbar, that if a person, you know, mistakenly is out in a forest and he's chopping wood and something slips and falls and kills an innocent bystander, and he really didn't try to kill, it was a mistake, it was negligence, it was shogeg, so then he has to run to the city of refuge. So now the Mishnah. Nishman Abarzel Mikito. Let's say the metal slipped off of the handle of the axe. Vaharag, and the metal killed. So Rebbe Omer Eino Gola, Rebbe says that's not reason to have to run to a city of refuge. Vachacham Omerim Gola, but the sages say that is enough to have to run to the city of refuge. What happens if it's not the metal that fell off of the axe, but it's a piece of the wood that fell down? Minoetz amitbakea. From the wood that's being chopped, a piece fell off and killed someone. So Rabbi Omer Gola, Rabbi says now he does have to go to a city of refuge. Vechachamim Omerim, and the sages say, Eino Gola, in this situation, he doesn't have to go to a city of refuge. Tanya, we were taught in a brisa, Amalem, Rabbi Lechachamim, Rabbi said to the sages, does the verse say, and the metal will slip off of its wood? It sounds like, and the metal will make fall things from the tree. Not that the metal will fall off of its wood. For another proof, the pasuk says, the pasuk keeps talking about wood. It spoke about earlier the man's in the forest chopping wood. Just like when it speaks about in the first instance of wood, means a man chopping the wood, not that something's coming off of the axe, something's coming off of the wood. So to the wood it's mentioned later, it's been Eitzam Isbakea, it's wood coming off of the wood. So Amar Bchia Bar Ashi Amar Rav, Ushneim, really the source of this dispute between the sages and Rebbe, is how do we interpret verses? Do we look at the way they are spelled, or do we look at the way we pronounce them, the way we have the tradition of reading them? So Shneim Mikra Echad Darsha, they're both reading the same verse, and they're trying to interpret it. The verse says, V'nashal ha-barzel min ha-eitz, and the metal will slip off of the wood. So Rabbi Sava, Rabbi says, Yeshem Lamasoras, the most important thing is the way it's written. So the way it's written is Venishal Ksiv, namely that the metal will make things fall off of the wood, because it's written with a yud. The metal will slip things off of wood. So what comes off of the wood, the chips that come out, if they kill, that's what makes them have to run to exile. But Rabbanan Savri, the most important thing is not the way it's written, but Yesh Eim LaMikra, the way it is pronounced. And the way it's read is V'nashal Karina. We read that the metal will slip off of the wood. So Gemara says, really? Rebbe Yesh Eim LaMasora Sfirulei? Do you think that Rebbe holds that whenever you have a verse, the most important thing is the way it was written? V'amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, I'm Rav Yochanan, but in Masech Tasukah, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef says the name Rav Yochanan, Rebbe, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Roatz, and Beit Shammai, and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Akiva. But what, the first one is Rabbi. Kulu Sfir Luhu, they are all of the opinion, Yeshem LaMikra, that the most important thing is the way it's read. So if the most important thing is the way it's read, V'nashal Habar Zalmina 8 sounds like the metal slips off of the wood. Not that the metal slips things off of wood. The metal itself came off of the wood. Why does Rabbi not say that? So the Gemara says, well, Hainid Zakam Luva Od. That's why Rebbe had to give a second reason here. Rebbe says, number one, I think that the way to read the verse is that the metal is going to chip something off of other wood, not that the metal itself came off of wood. And secondly, there's a Gzeira Shava. It says the word eitz twice. So just like the first time it's speaking about tree, it means that a man's chopping wood, not that the metal on the axe is somehow separating from the axe. So too, the second time when it talks about tree, it means pieces of the tree coming off. All right, so now we get into a very interesting discussion, a very relevant discussion nowadays, and that's the question, what is considered an action? Is it, obviously, if I do something directly, that's my act, but at what point is something not my action anymore? It's just I caused one thing which caused something else, which caused something else. So, for example, one of the ramifications of this coming Gemara was the issue of using a typewriter to write a get. We know the Torah says, V'kasav la sefer krisus, they have to write a get. What happens if someone uses a typewriter? Is that considered writing? So the post can say, no, because in a typewriter, my action is pushing down on a key. The key then pushes a piece of metal, which pushes another piece of metal, which makes something go into ink, which pushes another, which then comes down and it makes an impression on the paper. But it's not that I'm directly putting my pressure on the pen to get ink out onto a piece of paper. So it's too indirect. So that's the next issue, the question of indirect causes. Amarav, and obviously all these Shabbos devices of Machon Tzomet are all based on this Gemara, the indirect causes. So Amarav Papa, Rav Papa said like this, talking about someone having to go into exile for killing by mistake. Mandesha, the piece of Ledikla. Let's say a man takes a clod of earth and he throws it at a date tree. And by throwing it at the date tree, va'asar tamri, he knocks down dates. Va'azal tamri, then these dates that he knocked down fall the kotel, and they kill. So now, is that a reason to have to go into exile? Banal machlokas to Rebbe v'Rabbanan. So that's the argument between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, so he would have to go into exile. I'm sorry, according to Rebbe, he would have to go into exile because he's knocking something off of the tree. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, he doesn't have to go into exile. It's too far removed from his actions.
Rabbi, the get going back, the typewriting get is not kosher lePesach.
Not kosher lePesach.
Yeah.
The tape of clay. The same, yeah, that's also the big question about writing a Sefer Torah through a printing press. Again, you know, you could write a Torah in theory through a silk screen printing. If you cut holes in silk screens and pour ink and then just push the ink down. So that's also similar issues. So the Gemara now says, Pshita, of course, this is the same argument as Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, Mother Tema would have thought to say that throwing a clod of earth at dates, kekoach kochodami, maybe that's so far removed, it's like the force that came out of his force, and everyone would agree that he doesn't go into exile. Kamashman, that not everyone would agree to that. So elokoach kochol Rebbe hechim mishkachaslo, what would the case be? A force of the force that, according to Rebbe, would not make him go into exile. Kegon depshada pisa umachya legarma. Let's say he throws a clod of earth, and the clod of earth doesn't hit the dates, it hits the trunk. And that makes the trunk shake. V'azal garma, then the trunk that's shaking goes umachya lekvasa. That goes and, or a piece comes off of the trunk, and the piece that comes off of the trunk then goes and hits the cluster of dates. And then v'asutami, then the dates fall. Va'azal tamri v'katal. When they fall, they kill. So that's already indirect, since that's, you know, two steps. The dirt hitting the trunk, knocking a piece off the trunk, which then hits the cluster of dates, and then the cluster of dates falling to kill someone. That certainly would not send him into exile. This is the big source for all of those discussions. That's right.
From here to Shabbat.
So they say. Yeah. That's what they're saying. They're saying that since, in regards to running to exile, someone doesn't have to run to exile if it's two steps. He hit one thing which hit something else, which made the event occur. So they think the same in regards to Shabbos. All of their devices are built like that, where, you know, you press the key, it's a delayed start. It ends up being a delayed start. You press a button, which really doesn't do anything, which makes something else fall down, like a little ball fall, and then the little ball is what completes the circuit, and then the things start rolling. Not that Sefer Shlomo is gaming. You're intending to make it work. They're saying it's a violation. They're arguing it's koach kocho. It's not your force. It's the force of your force. And a secondary force is already not considered your action. So they have devices like this also in regards to Shemitah. They have like the special tractors that, you know, turn on.
Isn't there a significant difference? Because if you know for a fact that the second action...
That's one of the big questions. Right, so maybe once you know, it's not already considered koach kocho, it's already a guarantee. They say, well, there's a small chance that it wouldn't happen. I don't know. Yeah, but that's one of the challenges on their devices.
Is that how the Shabbat elevators work?
Yeah, to a degree, but also Shabbat elevators, they're working automatically. So this is more in all these different devices, like the scooter and other things that they have. All right, next Mishnah. Hazorik Evan L'Rishus HaRabim, someone who throws a stone out into a street, and Vaharag, and unfortunately somebody was there and the guy got killed. Zareza Gola, now he has to run to a city of refuge. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says like this, Imi kishiyatzis ha'evan miyado ho'tzialo es rosho, if when he threw the stone, no one was there. But once the stone was thrown, the guy came and put his head out, the kibla, and he caught the stone on his head. So Harezeh Patris, and then he's exempt from going into exile, because when he did his act, it wasn't going to kill. Zarekas Evan Lechatzero, let's say he throws out his stone to his own courtyard. Vaharag, and it kills somebody. So now it depends, why is that guy in his courtyard? Im Yesh Rishus LeNizak L'Kanes L'Sham, let's say the person who got killed had a right to be in the courtyard, then he has to go to a city of refuge. Vimla, but if the guy had no right to be there, Eino Gola, he doesn't have to go to a city of refuge, that guy should never have been there. What's the source for that? We saw this earlier. Shenamar, because the Torah says, Vasher Yavu Esra Ehu Bayar, if a man will come against his friend in a forest. So why talk about a forest for the case of the unfortunate mistake of killing by mistake? The answer is like this: Mahayar Rishus LeNizak VeLamazik LeKanes L'Sham. A forest is a place that both the damager and the damaged have a right to enter. Afkol Rishus LeNizak VeLamazik LeKanes L'Sham. So that tells you that where do you have this law when both people have a right to be there? Yatzah Chatzar Balabais, but that excludes the courtyard of a person. Shein Rishus LeNizak LeKanes L'Sham, where the damaged had no right to enter. That he does not, that in that place, there is no obligation of running to exile. Abba Shol says, Machatavas Eitzim Rishus, just like chopping wood is something which is optional. There's never a mitzvah to chop wood. Afkol Rishus, so too, the law of having to run to exile is only if somebody kills in the midst of an act which was optional, not an act which is a mitzvah. But if he's doing a mitzvah, and in the mitzvah he mistakenly kills, then he doesn't go to a city of refuge. So now we have a very difficult Mishnah for modern ears. Yatza ava makes beno, but if a father is hitting his son, so he's doing a mitzvah, hitting his son, he's educating his son. So if he hits his son too much and the son dies, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. V'arav arodes talmido, or a teacher who's slapping his student. So if he hits the student too much and the student dies, he doesn't go to a city of refuge because he's doing a mitzvah of educating his student. Or Ushliach Bezdin, if there is a court officer, a policeman, so the court says to, you know, somebody deserves lashes and the court officer makes a mistake in how it's carried out, or maybe they made a mistake in assessing whether the guy could hold all the lashes and unfortunately through the blows the guy dies. Nobody has to run to a city of refuge because they were in the middle of doing an act, which is a mitzvah. No. This is a different issue. This is an issue about cities of refuge. Doing a mitzvah is not going to obligate someone to run to a city of refuge. So the first case of the Mishnah, yeah.
Hitting somebody to teach them something, is that a mitzvah?
Apparently. At least it was. I don't know if it still is anymore. I think now if you hit someone to teach them, you probably are not going to teach them. You'll end up in jail. You'll end up in jail by the authorities, and they're not going to learn.
I have a question. If we're talking about Shaliach Beit Din, who inadvertently kills someone, how would the Shaliach Beit Din inadvertently kill someone unless he's going to invite somebody to the Beit HaDin?
No, the person was in the court. He was sentenced.
Hold on, we have the Beit HaDin.
That's correct. On behalf of the court, he hit, and he hit too much.
We understand that, for example, a father could hit a son and inadvertently killing him.
Right.
It was an action.
Right.
We're talking about a robber, a dead Talmido.
Right.
All right. At that time, I'm sure they were allowed to...
they used rulers and whips.
Exactly. So that's what I understand. But Shaliach Beit Din...
He was lashing the...
He was giving the lashes.
He is the one, I see. Okay.
He's giving the lashes, and he gave too much.
He died after 20.
That's right. Yeah. Instead of, he didn't reduce. So says the Gemara, let's talk about the first case of the Mishnah. L'rishus ha-rabim, a guy who throws out a rock to a public domain, so if the when he threw the rock, there wasn't anyone there, but now that a victim put himself out there, so he doesn't have to run to a city of refuge. What do you mean? L'rishus ha-rabim, he throws a rock to a public domain, mezidhu, that's an act of murder. You know people are there, it's a public domain. So of course you don't go to a city of refuge. It's way too guilty. It's not a guy throwing a rock. He's really just trying to knock down. He's doing construction. He's knocking down his wall. So even then, he should always look where he's knocking down a wall. Now, he's knocking down the wall at night, and so at night he figures there's nobody in the public domain. But at night also, of course, you should first look before you knock down a wall. Well, he's knocking down his wall into a garbage dump. Now, a garbage dump normally is a place where garbage is thrown, and when people need to go to the bathroom, they'll go to the garbage dump and they'll go to the bathroom there. So the Gemara says, well, hi, what type of a garbage dump are we talking about? If we're talking about a garbage dump that always has people there because lots of people need to go to the bathroom. So Poshehu, again, he's negligent, and it's way too much negligence to be able to go to a city of refuge. And if it's a garbage dump that people never go to, and he's pushing the wall there, so then the fact that there was a person there shouldn't make him go to a city of refuge. It was out of his control. So I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa answered, "Latzricha, we're talking about la ashba asuya lipanaspa balayla, vein asuya lipanaspa bayom. It's a garbage dump where at night there are people going to the bathroom there, but by day it's very rare to have anybody going to the bathroom there. And he's pushing down the wall by day now. But sometimes somebody really needs to go badly, so he'll go to the garbage dump even by day." So poshe alohavi is not considered, you know, on purpose and, you know, criminally negligent. Because by day normally it is a quiet place where it doesn't have people. But onas nami lohavi, but you also can't call him something that happened out of his control at all. Because it is, you know, prevalent that sometimes a person's there going to the bathroom. So since he pushed down the wall, so it's pushing down the wall into a public place. And it is the type of shogeg that would have to make him go to a city of refuge. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, if when he threw the stone out, no one was there, and then a person went out there, then he doesn't have to go to a city of refuge. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa the source for this. The pasuk says, umatza, and the thing that he chopped off will find the person and kill him. Prat lamamti es atzmo. So that excludes a person who makes himself found, who makes himself available. Mekanam Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, where Reb Elazar ben Yaakov derived his rule, imish yatsa heaven miyado, if only after the stone left his hand, then hotzi alo es rosho v'kibla, the other guy puts out his head and he gets the stone on his head, pater, he is exempt. So the Gemara now asks, the Maimon, does this imply to say the matzah me'ikara mashma, that if he finds that the word matzah always means that something's already there, right? The stone went out, or the wood went out, and it already found a person who's already there. Or many, but I'll challenge you from the following braisa, talking about the mitzvah of buying back a field. That if somebody sells a field, that it was an inherited field in the family from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, so once he finds the cash, he can buy it back, or his relative can buy it back if he doesn't have the fund. So the pasuk there says, "Vish kilo yelo goel." If a man doesn't have a relative, he siga yadovi, then gets the money. Umatzak degedula so, and he finds enough to buy it back. He can buy it back. So the brisa there says, "Umatzah." If he will find enough money to buy it back, prat lematzui. It actually is to say the exact opposite of what we have here. It's to say he has to find new money to be able to force the buyer from him to sell back to him his field, but not if the money he always had. So for example, let's say he sells a field, an ancestral field, And at the time, he has another field. Shelo yimkor berachok. He can't sell that field that he had at the time, which was far, v'yigol, to get the cash to buy back a field, bekarov, which is close. He can't sell a field that was bera'ah, that's a bad field, in order, v'yigol b'yafet, to buy a field that's now the good field that he had sold, because he already had this money. So you see that matzah means the opposite of having already. It means that it's a new thing. Whereas here we're saying, u'matzah, the wood will find someone who's already there, not a person who's new, shows up here. So Amar Rava, so Rava said, listen, u'matzah doesn't necessarily imply one way or the other. We have to look at the context. Hacha mi'inyane dekra, v'hasa mi'inyane dekra. Here we have to look at the context. There we looked at the context. Hasa mi'inyane dekra, over there we looked at the context. Verse said there is, siga yado u'matzah. His hand will find, and his hand will achieve, will get more money, and he will find. So matzah has to be dumya di sigu yado. So my sigu yado, just like when we talk about a hand reaching mehash, means now the hand got something, not that he had it earlier. Af matzah nami mehash. So there when it says he finds, it means he found something new, not that he had it earlier. Hacham in yana dekra, but here it's based on the context. The context is asher yavo esreir bayar. He'll come into the forest. His friend is there in the forest. And his wood will find his friend. Umatza tumi diyar. So the finding is like the forest. Mayar midi di isim eikar. We talk about a forest, it means it was here before. Afu matza nami midi di isim eikar. So here when it says, and the forest finds a person, it means that the person was there from before.
Rabbi, I don't understand this. Is that mean if somebody had a field and the field was producing,
right,
he sold it.
Right.
And he went and bought another field that is not producing as well. Okay. But he cannot go back and buy the first...
No. It's saying that if he had a field that he had inherited, it's okay, a family field, and he sells it, so he can buy it back if he gets new monies. But he can't buy it back from the monies that he had at the time that he sold it. So from the assets that he had at the time that he sold, even if those assets were not as good as this field, he can't now use those assets to buy this field back. The Torah says he finds new money, not that he had the old money.
I mean, what's the difference between money and money? Is the same money? Money is money, number one. Number two.
Apparently, there's a difference.
Because
this is, the buyer doesn't want to sell it back, but that we're forcing the buyer to sell it back.
Oh, forcing is different.
Yeah, he doesn't want to sell it back.
If the buyer wants to sell it back,
then of course people can do whatever they want if they want to do it. No, he doesn't want to sell it back.
Oh, okay.
So now the Mishnah said the point that was so difficult, which is that you only go into exile in the midst of an act that's permissibility, not in the midst of an act which was a mitzvah. Three examples of mitzvah hitting: a father hitting a son, a teacher hitting a student, and a shliach bezdin. Amar le'ahu mirabbanan le'rava. So there was a rabbi who said to Rava, "Mimaydim mechatavas etzim dirushus." What's the source? The fact that the Torah says that the man's in the forest chopping wood. Maybe there is a chopping wood that's a mitzvah. Let's say chopping the wood to build a sukkah. Or chatava seitzim to ma'aracha, chopping the wood to have wood in order to burn it on the altar. And afilu hakem rachman aligli. And even though he's doing a mitzvah, if while doing the mitzvah he kills, he has to go into the city of refuge. Amar lei, so Rava answered, no, there's no wood, there's no mitzvah to chop wood for a sukkah. Kevin the matzah chatov lav mitzvah. If you already find a sukkah, if you find wood that's already cut, you can just take that wood and put it up on the sukkah. You don't have a mitzvah to cut for the sukkah. Hashtanami lav mitzvah. So cutting wood is not called, it's not considered an act of a mitzvah. It's preparation for a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah itself. Esve Ravina l'Rava. Ravina challenged Rava. The Mishnah says, Yatza ava makas b'no. If a father is hitting a son, Rav Rodas Talmido, a teacher is hitting a student, or Shliach Bezdin, or the courts are hitting someone and they die, then they don't go to the city of refuge. So 1 second. Lema, if you say that once something, if you can get it done with what's already cut, there's no mitzvah to cut it. So a second, why is there a mitzvah for a father to hit a son? Kevin di lugamir, once the son already learns, lav mitzvah, there's no longer a mitzvah to keep hitting him. Sasha nami lav mitzvah, so there should be no mitzvah now to hit him. So the Gemara says, no, even after the son learns, there's a mitzvah to hit him. Hasam afal gav de gamir, even though a son learns, mitzvah, there's still a mitzvah for the father to hit him, because it makes him more disciplined. That's the verse in Proverbs. Yaser bincha, give your son a hard time, v'yanichecha. Then he's going to give you nachas. V'yitin ma'adanim l'nafshecha. He's going to give delights to your soul. So there's always a mitzvah to keep hitting a son. Hadamar Rava, then Rava said, lav milsehid amri. what I said is not a good answer. It's not a good answer.
Why am I keeping on hitting? Because say the Mishnah is talking about the first time or second time.
No, because with the same shit, because we're trying to compare it to the trees. So just like with trees, we said if you could get away with it being cut, you don't need to go cut it. So say with the sun, you don't always need to hit a sun. Sometimes. No, but sometimes you don't need to. So the Gemara is saying, no, there's always a good thing in hitting the sun.
I know, but hitting with what, Rabbi? Not with a belt, okay? Not with a stick of wood?
That's a good point. The Rav Volbi, he said, Yasser can mean, you know, just with sweet talk. He tried to reinterpret
now
the Gemara.
Now we're talking, okay.
Nowadays, it doesn't mean to hit nowadays. Hadamai Rava, then Rava said, Lav milsi dami. What I said wasn't a good answer. That there's no mitzvah to cut wood for a sukkah. I should have given a better answer, just the pasuk. The pasuk says, a man is coming into a forest. So asher yavo esrei bayar. So the word asher means that it's something which is optional. The boy ayel v'boy lo ayel. If he wants to come in, he could come in. If he doesn't want to, he didn't have to come in. Isak v'aitach mitzvah. If we're talking about it, some type of a mitzvah, like Fred said, we're talking about a case where it's not a mitzvah. Because if it's a case of a mitzvah, misagid lo ayel, you couldn't say the word asher, because then you have to go in. Amalei Rav Ada bar Ahava le Rava. So Rav Ada bar Ahava says to Rava, again, a question like we just had about matzah. Is this true? Kol eichad d'ksiv asher d'ibayhu. Whenever the Torah used the word asher, it means if he wants to. Ela me'atzah, so what about the following verse? V'ish asher yitma, a man who is tameh, v'lo yischata, and he doesn't purify himself first, and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he gets death. So one second, ibay mitma ibay lo mitma means if he wants to, he can make himself tummy. If he wants to, he doesn't have to make himself tummy. So what about a guy that's a meis mitzvah lo sagid lo mitma, a guy who had to bury a dead body? So it was a mitzvah to bury him. Hachanami de patri, he'd be exempt if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash when he's tummy. So Gemara says no. Shani hasam there. There's another pasuk. Amar Kra. The pasuk says tummy yihye. He is tummy. So that's a mikol makom. Any type of tuma that goes into the Beis HaMikdash has the problem of an impure person walking into the temple. So Gemara says, one second, but you guys need it for something else. Ahumi ba'ele, that we need looking at time for the brisa. Tamei yiyel rabos tful yom. Even if he's already gone to the mikvah, and he's just waiting for the sun to set. That's a problem if he walks into the Beis HaMikdash this way. Tumaso, bo is tumas in him, l'rabos mechusar kippurim. Let's say he was a tuma of Zav. He's supposed to bring karbanos on the eighth day after he had his discharge. So if he already went to the mikvah on day 7, and the sun set on day 7, but he hasn't yet brought his sacrifices on day 8, if he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he's done a terrible thing. Amarlei, so he said, no, I answer those questions from the different word, me'od ka'amina, from the word od tumaso bo. That's to teach those laws. Okay, so now, this whole discussion about what is a mitzvah, what is not a mitzvah, here we had it in regards to what makes a person go to a city of refuge. He goes to a city of refuge if he kills and doing something which is not a mitzvah, it's just a preparation for a mitzvah. But Ikud HaMasim, some had this whole discussion on a whole different topic. Namely, the pasuk says, 6 days work, and on the seventh day keep Shabbos, and then it repeats, Becharishu v'akatzir tishbos. Don't plant, don't plow, don't harvest. From plowing and from harvest you shall rest. So that's strange. It already said rest. So it means you can't have to rest from everything. Why mention plowing and harvesting? Rabbi Akiva, omei no tzarech lomar charish shel shvius. Rabbi Akiva says it's not even talking about 6 days. It's talking about Shemitah. It doesn't have to tell you don't plow during Shemitah or cut your shel shvius or don't harvest during Shemitah. Shari kvar nemar, because the pasuk already said about Shemitah, sad chalot tizra, don't plant your field, v'karma chalot tizmor, and don't prune your vineyard, and don't harvest whatever's growing. El afilu charish shel erev shvius shenichnas l'shvius. It's teaching you that you have to add to Shemitah. And on the sixth year, at the end of the sixth year already, you can't plow, because that'll be something which will help the seventh year. And katzir shel shvius yetzel motzai shvius. And if you had produce grow fully during the seventh year, even though now it's the eighth year, it still has the status of Shemitah, and you have to treat it with the holiness of Shemitah. That's the view of Rabbi Akiva. However, Rabbi Yishmael said that the pasuk's not talking about Shemitah, but it's talking about Shabbos. Rabbi Yishmael says it's teaching you the following. Macharish Rishus, just like plowing is an option, there's never a mitzvah to plow. So when the Torah says you have to rest on Shabbos, it's from optional harvesting. Av Katsir is Rishus, also the harvest which is optional. The Yatza Katsir, but when you have the harvesting which is a mitzvah, namely the cutting down of the new grain to bring it as a Karban Mincha, the second day of Pesach, Ptir HaOmer, Shehu Mitzvah, since that's a mitzvah, that can be done even on Shabbos. So that's the argument, whether the Pasuk is teaching you that you can do harvesting of a mitzvah on Shabbos, or the Pasuk is teaching you to add to Shemitah. So one of the rabbis said to Rava, how does Rabbi Shmuel say that all plowing is optional? It's never a mitzvah. Sometimes you could have a mitzvah. Let's say plowing in order to plant the new grain. The mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. Maybe Hashem is saying you have to stop even from mitzvahs. So here Rava said, no, there is no mitzvah to plow. Since if you would find something plowed, you wouldn't have to replow it. So that tells you that plowing is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to cut the new grain, lav mitzvah. Eis Ravina l'Rava. So Ravina said to Rava, how do you say that any time if you could find it done, you don't have to redo it, that means it's not a mitzvah? What about our Mishnah? Yatzav, amakas benova, rava rodas, tamido shliach bezdin. They don't run to exile. Amai, why? Lema, why shouldn't we say, kimen dilu gomer lav mitzvah? Since if the child already learned, there'd be no mitzvah. Hashtanami lav mitzvah. So therefore there is no mitzvah to give him harsh disciplines. The Gemara says, no. If the child, there's always a mitzvah to give harsh discipline. Even if he's already learned that the father's doing a mitzvah by giving harsh discipline, the ksiv, as it says, Yaser bin Chavi anichecha, rebuke a child and he'll give you nachas. Hadam Rava, then Rava said, Laf mil sidami, the answer I gave wasn't the right answer. I should have just said, Ktsira dumya de charisha. The Torah talks about harvesting and it talks about plowing. So macharisha matzacharish eino chorish, just like in plowing. If you already found it plowed, you don't have to replow in order to plant for the omer afktira. So to the harvest, if it was found harvested, you don't have to re-harvest. Isak adaitach mitzvah. And if it's a mitzvah, then how could you say that? If matzah kotzer eino kotzer, what do you mean? How could it be if you found it harvested, you don't have to re-harvest? Mitzvah liktzer lahavi. There's a mitzvah to cut it down. So it must be there is no mitzvah to cut it down. All right, next Mishnah, quickly, Ha'av Gola al Yedei HaBen. A father who mistakenly kills a son has to run to a city of refuge. HaBen Gola al Yedei HaAv, if the son unfortunately kills a father by mistake, the son goes to a city of refuge. HaKol Golan al Yedei Yisrael, anyone would have to go to a city of refuge through killing a Jew. Yisrael Golan al Yedei, and a Jew would have to go to a city of refuge for killing anybody. Chutz Migir Toshav, except for a ger toshav, that if he kills a Yisrael by mistake, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. The ger toshav eino gola el al yedei ger toshav. A ger toshav, a non-Jew has a right to live in the land of Israel. He would only go to a city of refuge if he mistakenly killed another ger toshav. Av gola yedei ben, the father goes to exile because of what happens to the son. But the Mishnah before said, Yatzav amakas, but no, but if a father hits a son and then the son unfortunately dies, he doesn't go to exile because he was doing a mitzvah. Afagav degamer mitzvah, right? So the Gemara says, well, degamer, maybe you already learned. But you said afagav degamer mitzvah kamid. So the Gemara says, maybe we're talking about Beshuli Denagra, where the father hits the son to teach him to be a carpenter, not to teach him Torah. So the Gemara says, that also is good. Shuli Denagra, for Yusuf Delamdi, he's teaching him how to earn a living. So the Gemara says, degamer umnus achwitna, he's already learned another profession.